to the book of Joshua. And I'm going to finish up this series today, Joshua chapter 7 and verse 8. That's the little mini three-part series I have in the midst of failure. But thus far, in the midst of our failure series, we have come to realize that in failure, when we really mess up, that we need to do some things. And the first things that we need to do is we need to come to repentance before God and turn away from our sin. Very careful there. I'm not going to preach that whole sermon again. But if you remember, Achan confessed his sin, but he never repented of his sin. A lot of people like to go to confession and confess their sin, but not very many people like to confess and repent. That means turn away. Repent means turn around. If I'm walking this way, I repent, I turn around, and I go the opposite way of which I was going. So when I repent of my sin, I turn away from my sin and walk away from it. Here's the other thing that when we really mess up before God, this is what we need to do. We need to seek God. How many times when something's going on in a person's life, the first thing they do is they run out of the church instead of into the church. We need to seek God in the situation that we are in. We need to seek God, meaning this. We need to get clean, and we need to get close. We need to get clean, confession, repentance, and then we need to get close to God. We need to seek God. And the Word tells us this, that when we seek God, we draw nigh to God, that He will what? He will draw nigh to us. And today we will finish up this series, and what God's Word will show us today is that we need to become compliant. We need to become compliant. It kind of goes like this. We come in confession, we come and seek God, now we need to leave and act upon what God has instructed us to do. So we need to become compliant, meaning we must allow God to have rule in our lives, that we completely surrender to Him and act upon God's instruction to our situation. Why do we need to do that? I left off, in fact, because of this last week. Because His plan for my life is for Him to prosper me spiritually and to bless my life according to His will. Therefore, when we seek God in the battles in our lives and submit to His will in our lives, He will bring clarity in the battle. And that was last week, remember? And last week I left off with this. I said, why do we need clarity in the battles? And I said, why do we need clarity? And I said, you come back next week and I'll tell you. So now I'm about to tell you. Why do we need clarity in the battles we face? I would like to suggest that it is so that we will not become repeat offenders in sinning against God. Why do we need to seek God's clarity, instruction in the battle? It's so that we do not become repeat offenders. How many are repeat offenders? Here, but put both of those up, okay? Yes. We don't want to become repeat offenders. You know, Donna always tells me, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. Well, in your trials, in your sin, in your offense towards God, when you begin to seek God in the matter, God will bring you His revelation on how to right the wrongs you have done. When you seek God in the matter of the situation in which you royally messed up, you come in repentance, you come in confession, you come in repentance, you're truly godly, sorrowful before God, you have a godly sorrow, you ask God, you seek God, tell me, what must I do? God will bring His revelation to how for you to correct the wrongs that has happened in your life. When you seek God, God has a plan to move you forward. That's maybe a better way to put it. When you seek God, God has a plan to move you forward, and He has a plan to move you away from failure so that you will not repeat those failures over and over and over and over again. Which leads me to the very next point. When you earnestly seek God for clarity in the battle you are in, God will give you a battle plan. He will always give you a battle plan. He has given us an instruction booklet for anything that you can conjure up underneath the sun. He will give you a battle plan if you seek Him so that you can what? Why would He give you a battle plan to get out of the wrongs in your life? Why? So that you can have victory in your life. God doesn't want us to be a defeated people. He has claimed us to be a victorious people. We want to be victorious for Christ, in Christ, and because of Christ, all right? And that's where I want to pick up today. So let's go back to the text. Let's go back to chapter 7, and I'll show you in chapter 7 what God did there, how they fought that battle in Ai that we just talked about last week, because they have to go back. Remember, they went up there, and they got 36 people died. They got ran out of Dodge like nothing ever happened. So now we talked about that last week, because they got to go back and they got to redo it. They got to go back and do it again. And that concept leads me to my very next point, that in staying close to the Lord, God will give you a strategy to eliminate, here's the point, to eliminate unnecessary repetition. To eliminate unnecessary repetition. Let us pray. Father God, I pray once again, Father, that you would forgive me of my sin, Father, that as I stand here before you, Father, that you would make me right, Father, to be able to be your servant, to be able to be your speaker, the one who can speak on your behalf. So, Father, I want to claim you as my Lord and Savior, that you are the authority, Father, in my life. So, Father, I give myself to you to do with me as you will. Father, if I'm going to preach something or say something that is not of truth, Father, I pray earnestly, Father, that you would silence my lips, shut my mouth, and you would rise up the one to speak for you today. So I give myself to you to do with as you wish. So, Father, whatever happens, Father, I pray that you were glorified today, that you, Father, will draw someone close to you, and that you, Father, will give somebody clarity in the battle that they are in their life right now. Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Now listen what they did back in chapter 7. It says this. This is in verse 2. Joshua said, what I want you to do is this. He says, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. Now remember, Joshua didn't go. Joshua, you look at this, you study this, you'll notice Joshua didn't go with these men. But the men went, they did. So the men, this is what they used to pick up in verse 3. So the men returned to Joshua. They went up to Ai. So the men returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not worry all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So the men tell Joshua, the men basically, they go up, they inspect out Ai, they get a view of it, and they come back and they tell Joshua, listen, there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. This is going to be a cakewalk. This is going to be easy. We can almost do this with our eyes closed, Joshua. We can do it, Joshua. Don't worry. We can do this on our own. We don't need any help. We got this. We don't even need everybody. But now, I want you to notice something here that most people may not pick up. But I want you to notice something vitally important in these verses. And I'm going to tell you why I want you to notice. Because this describes most people in times of trials and failures. I want you to notice that there's no prayer and there's no seeking the Lord here. There's no instruction from God in this whole thing that's going on. You remember in Jericho, they were seeking God, they were praying, they were fasting, they were doing all these things, they were getting right before God. Remember back up all the circumcision and all that kind of thing going on, getting right before God. They were seeking God, but here there's no prayer. There's no seeking the Lord. There's no instruction from God in this whole thing. They go and they try to handle this on their own. They felt that they didn't need to involve God. I could stop right here. They felt like they did not need to involve God in this battle. They did not feel that like they needed to involve God in this situation. I got this. I can handle it. You know, those are usually the first signs that you're in trouble. Especially when you're trying to handle things on your own. That's the first sign that you're in trouble. I got this. I can handle this. I don't have to seek God. I don't have to pray. I don't have to fast. I don't have to do any of those things. I got this. but they didn't need to involve God in the battle. We looked at that last week. They had this attitude. They could have taken it. It would have not taken much by military standards. We went over that whole thing. I give you the pincer maneuver there. They did not need anybody to go up. They did not need to toil and work at this. They didn't need to spend a lot of time on this. It could have been done very, very simply. But there was one problem, and the whole plan was that they had sinned against God. You know, we don't take that into factor a lot of times in our lives when we strike to try to encounter things and take things on, and we get ourselves involved in them and we left God out of it. We think we don't need God. And most of the time when you're in that situation, by that time you have already tried to approach something in sin. So now they've got to go back. They got to repeat. They got to go back a second time. And this time, it's not going to be so easy to have victory in their battle. Now, I'm sure that there are a few of you who can remember a time or two in your childhood. I know for some of you, that's a long ways back. Pray for Randy. He's preaching at First Baptist Chester this morning, so pray for him. But in your childhood, I think you can remember back when you messed something up royally. And when you messed something up royally, what did your parents say? Wouldn't they make you go back and do it over again? Let's do some light stuff. Let's say that you were cutting the grass as a kid, right? You're cutting grass. You were in a hurry because you wanted to go out and play with all your buddies. So in your speed mowing, you missed a few swatches of grass. So what did you have to do? What did they do? They make you go back, and your parents made you go back and remow the whole thing. Not just the part you missed. Go back and cut the whole thing again, right? Or how about if you ever had to wash a car? And you missed the whole back door. You ever been on any youth car washes, you know what I'm talking about. If you washed the whole car, but you missed the whole back door. I don't know about you, but when it was me, I had to go back and wash the whole car again, not just the door. You've heard the expression, maybe from your parents, you've heard this expression, if you would have done it right the first time, you wouldn't have to do it again. You wouldn't have to do it over. Now listen. These are some pretty simple things here. But what more do you do when we talk about your marriage? What do we do when we talk about your finances? What do we do when we talk about your job? What do we do about raising your kids? What do we do about addiction problems? See, these do-overs are not so easy, are they? It costs you a lot more to go back and redo the wrongs in these areas. But if we had done it right the first time, if we would have included God the first time, we wouldn't have to do it over again. It's the same with us spiritually. You understand that? And it was the same with the Israelites. We need to get things done right spiritually the first time. And that's the same with the Israelites. If they had done it right the first time, if they would have sought God and listened to God, if they had been close, if they had been clean before God, they would not have to go back and do it again. And let me say it this way. It was easier getting themselves into the mess than it is going to be to get themselves out of the mess. Amen. Anybody find yourself in a mess? It was a lot easier for you to get in it than to get out of it. That's the same with Israel here. Now let me tell you something. I hate to go back and learn. I hate to go back and learn what I should have already learned. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's nothing worse for me. There's nothing worse for me than that. There's times when I got to go back to God, learning a lesson all over again and saying, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I should have learned that the first time. I should have known that. I learned that years ago when I got knocked down to my knees and put on my back. I should have learned it then, but I didn't. And so you know what the Lord does? He just takes me right back to school all over again. He comes right back and he will give me another, as my dad would say, a learned lesson. Why? Because I obviously didn't learn the first time. It would be obvious, right? Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had to repeat a grade, but I did. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. It was shameful and embarrassing, and the truth be known, it's shameful now, and so I don't know why I'm telling you, but I am. But I'm still ashamed of that. I don't want people to know I had to repeat a grade. Now everybody's saying, what grade did he have to repeat? Because I don't like to talk about it. Why? Because it's embarrassing, and I'm ashamed of it. Well, that's the way it is. That's the way it is in the Christian walk when we fail. Anybody amen in that? Amen. There's times when I fail and I'm exposed. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. Well, that's how it is with the Christian life. We get embarrassed and we get ashamed and we try to hide it just like Achan did. Remember where he buried his spoils at? You see it? That's what we do when we get ourselves in the midst of a royal messed up situation and we try to hide it and we try to cover it. Why? Because we don't want others to know. We don't want others to know. You know what the problem is with that? I'm more worried about what Chris and Kenny and Dick and whatever your guys are doing. I'm more worried about what you think. So actually what I'm doing is I'm putting you on a higher pedestal than God. Because we don't want others to know, but the truth is God does. And listen, he's the one that matters. Listen, you can be disappointed in me all day long. A lot of people are disappointed in me, all right? But listen, there's a difference between one of you guys being disappointed in me and then God being disappointed in me. You see what I'm saying here? God can see what nobody else can see. Achan may have hid that from all of his comrades and his fellow people, but I don't think he did, but I think his family knew and was in the tent. How many big is a tent? But I think that, you know, a lot of people try to hide it from their family. They want to put it so that nobody can see it. Just as God's seen Achan's hiding his sin, he also sees us hiding ours. And he's the one who matters, and he is the one who will expose your sin over and over and over and over. I may not know it. Chris may not know it. Ralph may not know it. But let me tell you, God will expose it. What does Scripture say? Be sure your sin will find you out. That's not because of me. That's because of God. So, listen, let me tell you something. It is best to stay close. Let's go back. What's the remedy? It's best to stay close, and it's best to stay clean, and it's best to stay close to the Lord so that you don't have to go through these repetitions of doing it over again. Because the second time again is always more costly. I mean, look at our text. Look at all they had to go through. Look at all that they had to do. The Bible basically gives you this twice in this chapter. It says in verse 24 of chapter 8, look what it says. And it came to pass that when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai. I'm going to stop for a second. I want to show you what I mean about more costly, more time. Who took care of all the inhabitants of Jericho? Israelites, or was it God? It was God. He took care of it. Remember? He did it. They didn't lay a hand or a sword on anything. But here, who did? Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword, see, now we got weapons involved, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, see, we don't want to talk about the wrath of God, do we? This is what God told them to do. You understand? This is what it's going to be in end times, just so you know. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, all fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. And don't forget, that was just during the battle. Don't forget all the pre-battle plans that had to be made. Remember, we talked about that last week, everything they had to do. So it took them all night and all day long, and all they had to do at Jericho was march around the wall 7 times, blow a trumpet, and shout, and it all fell in. Done. Walk away. It didn't take them any time to do that. It didn't really take a lot of effort to do that. It's all we're going to do. But it takes them all day long to do this. They have to fight and go out at night, and they have to do it in the middle of the day. Listen to me. This battle required way more effort. It required way more time and way more planning to overcome. You feeling this? How did you get where you're at? How did you get in there? How did you get into that mess? How did you get in that royal thing? Didn't take a whole lot, did it? But you find yourself there. Now that the battle required to get out required more effort, it required more time, way more planning. It required bloodshed and life to overcome this. What should have been, listen, what should have been a no big deal? It should have been easier than Jericho. Remember all that? You see, they couldn't just march around it. Now they had to go back, and this time it required effort, it required battle, it required fighting, it required expending energy, it required much more than was really necessary to begin with. Listen, and trust me on this. It's always more costly the second time around. But that's what is said about sin. That's what's said about sin. You know, you ever heard the expression, sin will take you further than you anticipated to go, or it took you to a place that you never intended to go. Sin will take you to a place you never intended on going. It keeps you longer than you anticipated on staying, and it costs you more than you expected to what? Pay. So when you seek God, listen, this is the point. When you seek God, listen to his instructions and act upon them. Act upon those instructions. Learn from those things so that you do not become a repeat offender. Here's what it is. It's confess. Listen, week one, confess. Week two, seek. Week three, act. Move upon the instruction of God. And let me give you the last thing. And the last thing is this. Is when you stay close to the Lord in the midst of the battle, he'll always bring you his provision. And let me show you something that you'll miss if you're not careful right here. This is, to me, the best part of chapter 2. Listen to what God says to Joshua after he's given him encouragement. He comes now. Joshua falls before God. God gives him a battle plan. He gives him encouragement. He tells him, he assures him he's going to take all of this, Ai. But after he's giving them insurance, after he's giving them instruction, God says this. Look at verse 2. He says, "And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoils and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it." Now listen to me, this is just part of a verse. But did you hear what was said in that part of the verse, in that little part of the verse there? He says this. I don't know if you remember about Jericho, he said no. But in here he says, everything in the city is whose? Yours. He says, it's all yours. All the spoils, all the cattle, it's all yours. Anything that you can get, you get. Whatever you can get, you take it. Now, remember, Jericho's possessions were under the ban. Under the ban where God has said, look, God said, all this is what? Mine. You don't touch it. It's holy to me. You leave it alone. It's for me and me alone. I have my use and my purpose for it. You leave it there. You don't take anything out. You don't touch it. Now, watch this. If Achan had waited just a few days, remember, he got a robe he couldn't wear, and he got money buried that he couldn't spend, because why? People were going to ask him where he got it, right? If Achan had just waited a few days, if he had just listened to the Lord and waited and honored God with what was there in Jericho, he would have given him so much more at Ai. He'd have given him way more on the backside of that. But you know, there are many like Achan that they know better with what to do with what we think is ours. Do we think that we know what's best to do with what we think is ours? Specifically, our money and our possessions. It's mine. That's what we think. It's all mine. I earned it. It's mine to do whatever I want. And we have people who say, you know, I don't have to give. I don't have to do that. That's Old Testament, and none of that applies to me today. Now, listen closely to this truth with me. Listen closely. Honoring God always applies. Always applies. In every generation and in every day, even today. Because why? Because God said in Deuteronomy, he says this. He says, I'm the one who gives you strength to make it. You wouldn't have it in the first place unless I give it to you. I'm the one that's making provision to you. I'm the one that is giving you what you have. Is that just Old Testament? Or does that still apply today? Here, let me answer it. In my opinion, yes, it still applies today. It is God who gives you strength to this very day to earn what you have. What you have in your pockets right now, what you have parked in your garage right now, the home that you live in right now, you have it because God allowed you to have it. He permitted you to earn it and to provide that for you. What you have is because of the gracious hand of God. And God says, all I want you to do, I want you to honor me with it. I want you to honor me with it. I want you to make me first. I want you to make me first in every aspect of our lives. You know, you remember when a rich young ruler because Jesus knew the heart of that man, because he knew that his money was his God and that Jesus would never be his Lord. His money would be. So God wants to be first in everything of our lives. But we think what? We think we know better. So we jump out ahead of God like Achan did, and it cost us, and it is absolutely disastrous. Why? Because we often make our money and our possessions our God. You know, I hear it all the time. This guy worships this. This guy worships that. This is what is, you'll never get that off of him. You know, whatever. You know, and a lot of people say, you want to know where your God is? Look in your checkbook. And many times we become slaves to our possessions. We become slaves to the things that we have. Therefore, we can't honor God. And just think to this. If Achan would have been obedient to God in Jericho, Achan would have been blessed in Ai. But you know what he got instead? He got stoned and burned. Stoned to death and then burned to death. Achan would have gained so much more because God says, I'm going to give you everything in the next city. Why? Because God is our provider. He knows our greatest needs. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God knows your greatest needs? So if Achan had just waited and honored God first, just think about how much more he could have had if he had waited and been obedient to God's command. Just think of what he could have had. Just think if he would have maybe had a couple of donkeys he could have loaded up. So what was God telling Achan? Listen. It's very simple. This is not deep theological stuff. What was he telling Achan? It's the same thing that he's telling you and me here today. God's saying this, I am your provision. I am your provider. What is he saying? I will take care of you. You listen to me in the midst of wherever you're at. whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in that valley in the midst of that battle, he said, you listen to me, I'll take care of you. You seek me, you come and find me, you get clean before me, you seek me in this matter, I will speak to you, I will give you instruction, and I will take care of you if you will act upon that. I will, what's he saying? Listen, this is great. He's saying, I will satisfy you. What everything else that you have doesn't satisfy, he's saying, I will satisfy you. Seek me, desire me, hear me, and let me lead you into victory and blessings. That's what he's saying. Let me lead you into victory and blessings. Now, do you know why God wants us to wait sometimes? Anybody have patience problems? Do you know why God wants us to wait sometimes, brother? You don't know why? Do you know why he wants us to wait on some things? Because he's purifying our desires. He's purifying our desires. Understand, not everything you desire is good for you. Because if you got everything that you had ever asked for, you would be in a horrible situation, let alone you'd probably be a little spoiled brat. And then we would begin to think that God was just there to meet whatever my demands are. But if you got everything you ever asked for, if you got everything you ever asked for, you would actually be in a horrible situation. And I'm going to say this because I know that that's true for me. In fact, if I got everything that I ever desired, I wouldn't be here right now. And I definitely would not be your pastor if I followed my desire. Why? Oh, dude, I had plans of making it rich. I had plans of being this guy who was free and just doing whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it. I mean, I had a different vision for my life. And I asked God to bless that life, but he didn't. Listen, I wouldn't be here if I got everything I desired. So thank God I didn't get what I desired in my flesh. You may not be thanking God, but I'm thanking God that I have you. Because I could have missed out on the greatest things that God ever blessed me with. Do you understand? If I would have got my own desire, I would never have my children and my grandchildren. You know what else would, if I got my desire the way I wanted it? I would never. You're all thinking, it's good that you didn't get that. What you desired, you know. Yeah. I would have never married Donna. Why? Because when I originally used Donna to make another girl jealous so that the other girl would go out with me. I did. I was no good, I'm telling you. I literally flirted with Donna and started messing around with her to make another girl sitting across the aisle over next to where we were was to make her jealous because she would pay attention to me. That's what I desired. That's what I wanted. But you understand, the greatest things God ever blessed me with was because he made me wait. He didn't give me everything that I wanted. But you know what God was trying to do? God was trying to teach me this. God wanted my desires to be his desires. Why? Because he had a greater plan and a greater purpose. He had a greater plan for AI from the beginning, didn't he? He had a greater plan for Israel in the beginning. But they didn't seek God. You know, he wants my desires to be his desires. And God wants to purify your desire, and he wants to provide what you really do need, not what you want. And that's what God did there at AI. Do you see that? Can you see that in the overall picture? That's what God did there at AI. God said, all of this is yours. You go get it, and you take whatever you can find. It's all yours. And if you're a Christian, raise your hand. Can you not wait until we get to heaven. What did God tell us? He says, it's all yours. I prepared this place for you. It's yours. I'm going to prepare. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. He says, I'm going to make a provision for you. I can't wait to get there. But understand, trust this, and you really need to do this. God will take care of all of your needs, and he can take care of the needs of everybody around you, and it won't even break a sweat on his brow. Won't even cause a thought. He can handle it. And you think that you were, you know, sometimes we think we are the ones that are doing it. We're the ones who is in control, but he's the one who has given you the power, the smarts, the ability to get up and go and do it every single day. Do you think you got the talents and gifts that you got just because you earned them on your own? You didn't earn them on your own unless God instilled them in you and allowed you to receive them. Some of us have very talented gifts. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are nurses. Some of us are carpenters. Some of us are airplane people, whatever they do. I mean, it's vast array. Pipe fitters, welders, you know, whatever. You think you got all that without God's influence? Mm-mm. Computers, I got you. He's the one who's making provision, just like he did with the Israelites at Ai. He is the one that after they sought him and counseled with him, he said, now this is what we're going to do. And then they acted upon it, and they went and did it. And you know what? When they acted upon the instruction of God, let me ask you this. When they acted upon the instruction of God, after seeking God and acting upon his instruction, did they fail? No. In fact, they got more than they could ever imagine. Do you want to know why? Because when we follow God's plan, the goodness of God will be revealed. When we follow God's will, God's plan, the goodness of God will be revealed. But you know what you got to do? You got to stay close. You have to stay clean. And you have to remain compliant. When you do that, then his power and his provision will prevail in your everyday life. When you do that, his power and his provision will prevail in your everyday life. So in closing, I want to ask you just a couple of questions. How close are you? How close are you really to God? How close of a relationship are you really in with him? Do you talk to him? Do you let him talk? Do you let him talk into you, speak into you? How close are you to God? Let me ask you this. How clean are you before him? How clean are you before him? What's in your life that's hindering that relationship from growing? Here, it would be like this. God, what's in my life to hinder my relationship with you right now at this point? You ask him that, and he will tell you. And then act upon that. Let me ask you this. How compliant are you to his word? How compliant are you to his word? Are you acting, or worshiping might be a better word? Are you acting according to his will and plan that he has, according to his word? How clean? How close? How compliant? Those are some great questions. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. This invitation is very important. It's important to a lot of people. There are people here this morning who need to make a decision for Christ. God has been speaking to you. Maybe you've been seeking, and God is speaking. Now is the time to act. But many of you need to make a decision for Christ. And in just a moment, the praise band will begin to play. And when they begin to play, that will be your clue to step out. Step out from where you are. Step out from a life that has got you trapped into a life that can lead you to freedom. You need to step out from where you are and say, you know what? I want to know a Father who takes care of my needs, both spiritually first and physically. And let me tell you something. Your greatest need is the need for personal salvation. Your greatest need is for personal salvation. So this morning, I want to ask you to slip out and make your way to the front, because we have men here that will be standing up front with me. You come to me, you come to any one of these guys, but they will be here and they can share Jesus Christ with you. They are waiting to share Jesus Christ with you at this very moment. And others of you need to come and join this church. You need to make this your church home. You've been coming for a while, and God has been drawing you to this place. God's meeting you here. So I encourage you today to come and come to me, and let's talk about what church membership means. Now, maybe you're here today and you need to get clean and you need to get close and you need to become compliant to God and His Word. What am I saying? I'm talking about Christians who need to recommit their lives and draw back into a close relationship with God. That may be you today. Listen, here for all of you, I'm going to close with this. God has been waiting for you at this time in this place. He's been waiting for you to come to Him. For what reason on this earth would you have to hold back? Because the provision that He has to give for you is literally, no pun intended, out of this world. Lord Jesus, in these moments, may our response reflect in obedience, Father, to Your will. That, Father, we would surrender to Your will. We would hear Your voice and we would respond rightly to it. That we become obedient to You and Your will and Your desire for our lives. And that, Father, in us You would be glorified, and that You would glorify Yourself in us. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.